Throughout the world tonight and tomorrow, people are celebrating Christmas. For some, that means rejoicing that Santa Claus brought surprises left in stockings and under trees. For some, that means remembering that more than 2,000 years ago, a baby named Jesus was born in a little town in the Middle East called Bethlehem. And this incarnation brought us a new understanding of God and birthed a new religious expression. I suggest to you that the incarnation also means that the Christ, this reflection of God's love and light, is born in us. That our celebration here tonight is also the celebration of the gift we have received from God that dwells in our hearts and makes us into sacred beings set apart for the work of being God's messengers in the world. Now, Jesus is first and foremost the sacred being. That word sacred means holy or set apart for a special purpose. We understand Jesus to be holy and set apart in a particular way. He showed us God in our flesh and blood. He presented to us God who loves us so much that God is willing to become us, human, humble, lowly. Yet even with all our human limitations, Jesus showed us that God's love for us is limitless and perfect, that God's desire is to see each one of us healed and whole, that we can find the way back to the justice and the righteousness God intended for the world from the beginning. Jesus' followers in the first century came to be called Christians, a word that means little Christ, because they embraced the life he had modeled: loving, giving, forgiving, helping those in need, lifting up the oppressed, seeking justice for the marginalized. Deep in the third century in Patara, Turkey, which is a port city along the Mediterranean coast, a child was born to wealthy parents, and they named him Nicholas, and they raised him in the Christian tradition. Nicholas became a priest, later a bishop of the church. When his parents died, he inherited their wealth, which he then distributed to the poor. There are many tales told about Nicholas' generosity. One is of a family in Myra, where Nicholas was serving as bishop. The family had fallen on hard times. There were three daughters, but the parents had no money to offer for dowries for their daughters. In that time and place, it meant the girls had no prospects and would likely wind up as slaves or prostitutes. The legend says one night Nicholas tossed a purse of gold coins through the window, which landed near the fireplace. On discovering the coins, the father quickly arranged for his eldest daughter to marry. The next night, Nicholas returned with a second purse for the second daughter. Days later, he again supplied money for the third daughter to be wed. Over the centuries, those stories morphed into the idea that at Christmas, children's socks or shoes left by the fireplace might be filled with treats from a benevolent Santa Claus. But the real Saint Nicholas was a holy man who recognized the holy image of God in all people and used what he had been given to honor the holy in others. Sacred beings, patterned after the sacred being. As a church, we have journeyed toward tonight reflecting on the sacred. From the words of the prophets and the gospel writers, from contemporary theologian Richard Rohr, we've learned that the sacred is actually everywhere around us as well as within us. This moment, every moment, is sacred because it is pregnant with holy possibility. Every place is sacred because God, who created all things, is present in all places. Every person is sacred because each one of us is created in the image of God and is beloved of God. In his book, The Universal Christ, Richard Rohr says, paying too much attention to the voices of others instead of the voice of God keeps us from accepting that we are accepted. Maybe that's why the Christ came into the world in such surprising circumstances. His parents were not yet properly married. They were forced to travel but had no place to stay in Bethlehem and wound up bedded down where the animals were stabled. The King of Kings was laid in a manger. The first worshipers were shepherds and foreigners. Before he could walk, he and his parents were on the run seeking refuge in Egypt because King Herod feared this newborn king. If he had been born in a palace and swaddled in fine silks, we wouldn't know how to relate to him. If his worshipers had been courtiers and nobles, we wouldn't imagine God cared about us. But he came in the most humble of ways. If God can be born homeless to an unwed couple and be visited joyfully by outcasts, then we must believe that God does indeed live in every place and every time and come to every person. And if God can be in every place and every time and every person, then God is here now with us. That's the gift of the incarnation, which we remember and celebrate every year. God is here now with us. The question of what to do with that knowledge becomes, how do we bring Christ to the world? Sometimes we do it consciously, deliberately. Sometimes we do it without even realizing. My husband's first career out of school was with the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater in New York. He was a lighting designer and stage manager for the company. He worked hard to make every performance he was a part of a good experience for both the performers and the audience. After 14 years of touring, he wanted to put down roots and shifted into academic theater, teaching what he'd been doing for so long. And he came to understand that while still creating art and making good experiences for performers and audience members, his work was also to help his students find their way. Over the decades and across three different academic institutions, many of his former students have stayed in touch. We've attended their weddings and celebrated the births of their children. We've exchanged emails and phone calls and Christmas cards. And when Bill passed away in August, many of those students sent flowers and messages, including one from Micah Ordway, which read, "Bill did more to help me through school and life than any other faculty member, even though I was not a theater major, and I will always be grateful to him." How do we bring the love and the light of Christ to the world? I suggest to you tonight, it is by seeing the sacred in ourselves so that we can embrace the sacred everywhere, in everyone. Maybe especially the ones we didn't even realize we were passing the light on to. Howard Thurman's poem, "Now the Work of Christmas Begins," has become one of my favorites this time of year. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. That, my friends, is how we bring the love and light of Christ to the world. That is how we celebrate Christmas. The gift we have received is the Christ born in us. The gift we give to God is to reflect that love and light into the world. Little Christs, sacred beings, every one of us. Merry Christmas, friends, and amen.